429. The journey in the plain of Estrelon continues. 6th May 1946. After the incident they continue to walk for some time in silence. But when they arrive at a road junction in the country, James of Zebedee says,
"Here we are. This road here will take us to Micah's house, but are we still going there? That man will certainly be waiting for us in his property, in order to ill-treat us, and to prevent you from speaking to the peasants. James is right. Don't go there,"
advises the Iscariot.
"They are waiting for me. I sent word that I am going there. Their hearts are rejoicing. I am the friend who is coming to console them."
"You can go some other time. They will resign themselves,"
says Judas, shrugging his shoulders.
"You do not resign yourself so easily when you are deprived of something for which you hoped."
"My matters are serious ones. Theirs.
And what is more serious or greater than the perfecting and relief of a heart? Everything tries to separate those hearts from peace and hope. And they have but one hope, that of a future life. And they have but one means to go there. My help. No. I will go to see them at the cost of being stoned."
"No, brother, no, lord,"
say together the zealot and James of Alpheus.
"It would only serve to have those poor servants punished. You did not hear him, but Johanan said. So far I have tolerated the situation, but I will no longer do so. And woe betide the servant who will go to him or welcome him. He is a reprobate and a demon. I don't want corruption in my household," and he said to a companion, "even if I have to kill them, I will cure them of their devilish attachment to that cursed man."
Jesus lowers his head, thinking, and suffering. His grief is evident. The others are sorry, but what can they do? The situation is resolved by Thomas's practical serenity.
"Let us do this. We will stay here until sunset, in order not to infringe the Sabbath. In the meantime, one of us will steal away to the houses and say, 'At dead of night, at the fountain outside Sepphoris.' And we will go there after sunset and wait for them in the thickets at the foot of the mountain on which is Sepphoris. The master will speak to those poor people and comfort them, and at daybreak they will go back to their houses and we will cross over the hill and go to Nazareth. Thomas is right. Bravo, Thomas,"
say many. But Philip remarks,
"And who will go and warn them? He knows every one of us, and he may see us."
"Judas of Simon could go. He knows the Pharisees well,"
says Andrew innocently.
"What are you trying to insinuate?"
replies Judas aggressively.
"I? Nothing. I am saying that you know them, because you were for such a long time at the temple and you have good friends there. You always boast about them. They will do no harm to a friend,"
says meek Andrew.
"Don't you believe that, in no way. Let no one believe it. If we were still protected by Claudia, perhaps, I could. But not now. Because now, in short, she has disengaged herself. Hasn't she, master?"
Claudia continues to admire the wise man. "She has done nothing else, or more than that. From such admiration she may pass to believe in the true God. But only the illusion of an excited mind could believe that she nourished other feelings for me. And if she did, I would not want them. I can accept their heathenism, because I hope to change it into Christian faith. I cannot accept what would be idolatry on their side. That is, the adoration of a poor idol man on the poor human throne."
Jesus says so calmly, as if he were speaking to everyone lecturing them. But he is so resolute, as to leave no doubt about his intention and his decision, to repress every possible deviation in that direction among his apostles. No one therefore replies in regard to human regality, but they ask,
"So what are we going to do for the peasants?"
"I will go. I made the proposal. I will go, if the master allows me. The Pharisees will certainly not eat me,"
says Thomas.
"You may go. And may your charity be blessed."
"Oh, it is such a trifle, master."
"It is such a great thing, Thomas. You understand the desires of your brothers, Jesus and the peasants, and you feel sorry for them. And your brother in the flesh blesses you also on their behalf,"
says Jesus, laying a hand on the lowered head of Thomas, who is deeply moved, and whispers,
"I, your brother? It is too great an honor, my lord. I, your servant, you, my God. That yes, I am going."
"Are you going alone? I will come too,"
say Peter and Thaddeus.
"No, you are too impetuous. I can turn everything into laughter. The best means to disarm certain characters. You become furious at once. I will go by myself.
I will come,
say Andrew and John.
Yes. One of you, yes, also one like Simon Zealot or James of Elpheus.
No, I never react. I keep quiet and I act,
insists Andrew.
Come.
And they go away in one direction, while Jesus and those left with him go in the other.